And my own good morning, everybody. Praise God that the sun is still shining. Summer keeps roaring on, or limping on. Yes, welcome all. This is the latest in our What's the Point series. We had a few weeks ago kicking us off with this was Martin Paul, who looked at prayer. We had Jonathan Edwards look at What's the Point of Vision Discovery amongst us. And last week, Chris Walker talking about small groups. What are the point of small groups? So now we come to our community ministry. I hope you find this series, or are finding this series, helpful. My experience in life is that I very easily just fall into the thing of just getting stuck doing things and doing things the same as, and sometimes lose the focus and lose the point and lose the reason. So I hope this series helps us kind of just drag back and think about and engage with why we're doing things. I've got 4 points this morning. It's a little more than normal, so I'll get cracking straight on in. The first point about community ministry is this. Community ministry is modelling. Community ministry. You will be relieved. It's not that kind of modelling I'm talking about. It's not the catwalk stuff, nor am I talking about the Airfix type of modelling. I don't know if any of you are fans of Airfix. I used to love Airfix models when I was a youngster, before the gizmos came along. You had to spend your time sort of working those things out. But it's not that sort of modelling either. I've always found it slightly alarming that God wants to use us humans in the business of bringing his love into the world. Sue focused in her leading a lot about that. It's about God's love coming down to earth, God's love coming here. But it, bizarrely, sometimes for me, he wants to use us as the models. And in the Old Testament times, the nation of Israel was the model. Then Jesus came, and we have him, of course, as our own personal model. After his death, in our New Testament times, the church is the model. It says in John 13, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The way we do life together, the way we do church together, is supposed to be the model for the world. Well, you don't need to read too much Bible to know that Israel's track record as a model was not too hot. It was pretty hopeless. And the churches, if you look back at church history, you'll also know that our experience as a model has not been much better either. But what God wanted was good living examples. But what he often got from Israel, and perhaps us as church, was people who mimic, people who pose, not people who actually turn out to be those good living examples. But this is what I find amazing. Despite our manifest failings, it seems that God is absolutely determined to stick with that as being his way of bringing his love into the world, using us imperfect human beings. There is no plan B. There is no other. It's us. Do you feel up to the task? The need for us to be good examples or models has always been there. I think it's ever been there. But I would possibly argue that it's more important in this day than ever before, because there's a perceived credibility gap. The church not doing what it says on the tin. And so I think that charge is even more important than ever. So I wanted to read a few quotes from an essay by a renowned graduate from Moorlands Theological College, a guy called... Oh, it's me. it's one of my essays. Well, I still want you to listen to them, okay? I still want you to listen to these. Speaking of the Christian gospel, Graham Cray comments, "It doesn't seem real. It seems true, but it doesn't seem real." Ouch. Philip Yancey writes, "Unless we as Christians demonstrate truth with our lives, what we say about what we believe will sound like empty advertising slogans." And our world, let's face it, is beset. We are bombarded by empty advertising slogans. The real thing is so much harder to find. The theology that matters is not the theology we profess, but the theology that we practice. If we preach a gospel of transformation, we need to show some evidence of what transformation looks like. Without the demonstration of kingdom life, evangelism simply doesn't work. Do you get the point? We can't just pose if we want to bring God's love into the world, if we want to change the society that we're in. We can't just attend. We've got to embody somehow. And that's such a challenge, isn't it? To actually embody, to be what someone described as the living proof of the living God. So how do you think you're doing with that aspect of community ministry today? How are you as a model? How do you think we're doing as a church, as a model? The second point is community ministry is local and accessible. Matthew 28, verse 18 and following commissions the church to get the gospel out to the farthest corners of the world. So having an international emphasis as church is always a priority. So it was tremendous for us to hear from Samaritan's Purse. And you see the impact. I mean, the number of millions, literally millions of people. And the impact that those boxes are having on children. Fantastic impact across the world. You may be aware that as a church here at Eastleigh Baptist Church, we support mission partners, as was referred to. And that we support the organisation BMS every year. I'm also very encouraged that EBC has a long history of sending and supporting individuals on mission, which is fantastic. But people who don't know Jesus don't just live in the Amazon rainforest or the deserts of the Middle East. They're also to be found, aren't they, right here amongst us, on Desborough Road, on Factory Road, in Bishopstoke, in Chandler's Ford. There's an awful lot of them in Chandler's Ford. So community ministry has got to be local, and it's got to be accessible too. It's got to be local. Our modelling, our living this stuff out, is here in Eastleigh. It's in Eastleigh the town, Eastleigh the borough. It's to those that we're living next door to, those that we're travelling to and fro with, those that we're bumping into as we go about our lives. But I want to ask you, how well do you know your neighbours? How well do you know the people that are around you? You stop and say hello to people? Shock horror, you know. But, I mean, that's the kind of the world we live in. It really seriously mitting against this stuff all the time, don't you know? And these devices that we have, as we've talked about. I mean, they really get in the way of just this casual stuff. Do you ask people there what their name is? I know most of us probably don't do that because we're terrified that we won't remember what their name is. And the next time we see them again, it will be... Remembering is a different situation, but when you ask someone's name, what you're doing is you're kind of identifying them as a human being, as an individual. They're not just a person. It's them. Oh, it's you. It's such a powerful thing to be able to do. Do you pray for them? Are you a good neighbour? Now, I know he can talk the hind legs off a donkey. And I know that he's usually just putting off shifting the next table or chair. But I think a great example of this for me is our Den Graydon. He normally sits up there, so he's obviously skiving today or he's popped off to the loo or whatever. But I think Den is a great example of this, not just because he can chat. I mean, lots of people can just chat, but because he remembers. And those of you that are around church know Den remembers people. And he's always talking about X, Y, and Z. And more importantly, he's always bringing into our prayer times the names of those people to pray for because he remembers them. He doesn't just chat to them, he remembers them. I think he's a great example. So share that with him when you see him next. Got to be useful for something after all, hasn't it? Community ministry, I think, is got to be accessible. It is accessible. It must be accessible. Jesus said, it's the sick who need a doctor, and he's not just talking about the physically sick, he's talking about the spiritually sick as well. But so how frustrating is it when you want to get hold of your doctor and you're told, yes, you can see him in a couple of weeks or so? I don't want to see him in a couple of weeks. I feel bad right now. I want to see him right now. So I am so chuffed that the World's Place Centre and the coffee shop we have here, I mean that we are very close to being able to be accessible 7 days a week for those who are coming seeking spiritual help and God's love, and so that we're able to minister round the clock effectively. So I do argue that community ministry must be, it's got to be local and it's got to be accessible. Thirdly, third point, community ministry is like floor leveller. Come again. I said community ministry is like floor leveller. And by that, I mean it goes where it's needed. Floor leveller, magic stuff, when you apply it, it goes where it's needed. So I want you to get pictorial with me at this moment. I want you to imagine that you've come across the most amazing tiles. Tiles that are going to transform your kitchen from perhaps this drab, sort of just boring, into this wonderful place. These tiles are going to do it for you. But of course, your kitchen floor looks rough and uneven and it's kind of pitted. And if you laid those kitchen tiles on this rough, uneven, pitted floor, it would be a mess. It would look like the pavements of Eastleigh. It would trip hazards and water hazards everywhere. What floor leveller does is it searches out those uneven areas. Just flows out, searches out those uneven areas, those dark recesses, those pits, all the bits that are not true and even. And it searches them out and it fills them up and evens them out so they're solid and level and ready to be built on. So I want you to picture that. Just try and picture that in your mind as you pour out your floor leveller onto this bit of a mess, that it goes out there and it goes where it's needed. It fills up. That is what community ministry is supposed to do in our community. Like the floor leveller, it should go where it's needed. Society, you know this, you know, we all know this. Society is full of people, we among them, who are uneven and cracked and pitted. And we, church, we want to search them out and fill them up with God's love and even them out, don't we? Surely we do, so that God can build on them. Think I'm stretching it a bit with that analogy? Let's hear some scripture, which I think kind of tells us to do exactly that. I'm going to invite the gorgeous Catherine Dodson to come up and bring us a reading or two.
Okay, the first reading is from the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 10, starting in verse 25. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord with God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, and it starts in verse 31, the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.
Amen. Thank you, Catherine. The priest and the Levite did not go where they were needed to go, where they needed to go. If you look at Jesus through the Gospels, he consistently goes where he needs to go. He went to the sinners, to the villains, the uneven, the rough, the despised, the irregular. Jesus touched the lepers. If you have any idea how powerful that must have been, I mean, we know a lot more about leprosy now. But back in those days, you know, the idea of touching someone with leprosy, I mean, you ran a mile from them. But Jesus, it was the personal touch. So community ministry must go where it's needed. It gets up close and personal, just like our Lord Jesus did. Like street pastors. Like CAP, sitting down with people in the, you know, with debt. Like coffee shop pastors. Like come to the well. Like first friends, and stay and play. Like our choices course. Like our recovery course. Are you ready to be floor leveler, folk? I hope so. Lastly, what's the point of community ministry? Community ministry sticks in there with people. Floor leveler, a bit bizarre, but I hope might have been a useful analogy for us thinking about community ministry. But one of the things about floor leveler, I believe, is that it works pretty quickly. You can't have a sticky solution lying on your kitchen floor for very long. It needs to get out there and do its job and fill up, but it dries pretty quickly, I believe. Have you ever noticed that people are not quite so easy to fix? Jesus, praise God, was able to look at someone and to know exactly what the deal was, exactly what the issue was, exactly what the sin was, exactly what the problem was. Some great examples you'll see in the Gospels, for example, when he comes across the character known as the rich young ruler. This guy comes to him with a theological question, but Jesus looks at him and knew straight away what the issue was. It's his money. This guy loves his money more than actually he loves God. And so challenged him about his money. Lots of other examples that you could quote in Scripture. Jesus could just look at someone and know what the issue is. Most of the time, we don't have that capacity. We can't see straight into someone's situation. Sometimes they're obvious, but mostly we might think we know what's going on, But it's only by spending time, investing time, and sometimes a lot of time, you actually get to know what the real situation is. Have you ever been thought that you knew someone and then went on holiday with them and discovered that you didn't know them that well after all? I was this character. I used to go down to the south of France each year when I was a young man, a student. It was a very cheap way of staying down on holiday down that lovely part of the world. We used to go and sell tins of Coke and donuts on the beaches down there. Live in a campsite, go down to the beach each day, do a couple of hours' work if we were lucky, and then but maintain our existence down there. One of the characters that came down with us one time, who's a guy that I thought was, you know, was a real just fun, happy-go-lucky, life and soul of the party type. He got down there and he was a twitch bag. He just twitched about everything. My idea of holidays, it's all relaxed, it's all chilled, it's all just good fun. And he was twitching about this and twitching about this. He literally set me on edge. But I only discovered that when I spent a lot of time around him. Previously, I'd only seen him in one sort of environment. So when you see people, warts and all, you really get to understand what the issues are. I'm not saying, for example, that you have to go on holiday with everyone that you want to spend. You other ways of spending time with them. Often we don't have that quick solution, but we have to apply love and grace with extreme patience for a very long time. And if you parents out there will know instinctively what I'm talking about with your own children, but community ministry needs to do that. Community ministry needs to demonstrate that sort of love. I stated at the beginning that God wants to use us as models, and though we're pretty hopeless, he sticks in there with us. Well, just as God is prepared to stick in there with us as humans, we have got to be prepared to stick in there with people. I won't mention her name, but I'm sure her ears will start to burn anyway. 7 years ago, a lady came to a support group that was starting here. Her spirit and esteem were so low that she was only able to give her name at that first meeting. Wasn't able to say another word. 7 years later, she's been running confidence and recovery courses here, not just organising and facilitating them, but actually delivering them. That, I believe, was through us here, was the patient application of God's love, and have that wonderful effect. Now, sometimes you apply that and you don't seem to see the fruit. Perhaps a bit like Jesus' seed that was sown on the path. Sometimes there is fruit, but we don't see it. Maybe we just do our bit in a situation with someone and then they move on somewhere else, so we don't get to actually see the fruit of that love. But sometimes it blossoms and flourishes right in front of us, and it is wonderful to behold when it does. What is the point of community ministry, or your community minister by association as well? Community ministry is a tool, just very simply, it's just a tool. It's not the tool, it's just a tool, but it's a good tool to bring God's love to those around us through modelling it well, by providing it locally and making it accessible, by taking it to where it is needed, and by sticking with people for the long haul. Church, I commend it to you. We, I believe, are going to close our service now with one more song. It's an upbeat song. Those of you that know me will know it's one of my favourite songs. It sings about the triumph. The triumph of Jesus, the triumph of Jesus over death. Sue referred to just that wonderful redeeming love in her, much of what she spoke about this morning. That is what it's all about. Our world is broken. We are broken. We're messed. Jesus came to save, and he has already won the day. What he did on that cross was to redeem us. He's offered us a gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of redemption. If you haven't taken it already, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, take it. come and talk to us about what that means, what's involved in that. But for the rest of us, those who have it already, we can just sing it now.